Amen. Well, we're still in the series, First Things First. And tonight I want to talk, God wants to talk us a little bit about the spirit dimension. Don't panic. It's not going to be anything real heavy. I promise it'll be something that you can handle, that you can understand, that you can put to use right away. So let's start out with our opening passages, as we have been in this scripture, Hebrews 11:6, in the Phillips New Testament. Yes, I use the King James. I use a lot of translations. Whichever one the Holy Ghost tells me that we'll all understand, that's the one I use. Whichever one makes the point he wants to make, that's the one we use. Hebrews 11:6. In the J.B. Phillips New Testament says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. And secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try and find God." So no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, we have to have faith that God exists. And if we don't have faith that God exists, it becomes impossible to please God. Because you can't say, "I don't believe in God, but I have faith." In who? That would be the question. In who? I found, and when I had a conversation with Pastor Ed, we both concluded, when we look at all of the other scriptures and all of the other things that we have, it all comes back to, we have to believe that God exists. Because we can't enjoy anything else that he says we have if we don't believe he exists, because he's the one who's providing all of those other things. So if he doesn't exist, how can those other things exist? The other part of that scripture, it says first, we have to believe two things. First, that God exists. And then it says, and, which means there's something else connected to it. And I went through practically every scripture, maybe one or two out of all the different scripture versions that I looked at. All of them said, after, you know, you must believe that God exists or God is, it says, and, which means there's something that goes along with that. We have to believe that God is, and according to the King James Version, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, everybody say, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's telling us that just believing that God exists is not enough. Just believing that God is a rewarder is not enough. What we have to understand is that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That means something else. As I previously shared, if you heard me Sunday, some of the words that define diligently is determinedly, doggedly, hard, industrious. Industriously, intensely, laboriously, mightily, purposefully, strenuously, animatedly, briskly, busily, energetically, feverishly, spirited, vehemently, vigorously, zealously. All of those mean diligence. Continuously, ploddingly, that means you could be stumbling around, still seeking, steadfastly, unabatedly, unrelentingly, attentively, conscientiously, earnestly, exhaustively, meticulously. It means you go through every nook and cranny of every situation knowing God is in this somewhere and I'm going to find him. Painstakingly, seriously, thoroughly, tirelessly, you'll know you'll do it, you're seeking him tirelessly when you don't hear yourself saying, "When, God, when?" You don't care when, you just know it's going to happen and you're going to keep looking until you get it. Stubbornly, and willfully. That means you're going to purpose. You're going to make it your business to find God in every situation. You know he's there. Pastor, how do I know he's there? Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So God's, you know, he's not with you and then something happens. He says, let me get out of here. Oh, no, it says he makes himself strong on behalf of those that'll trust him, that'll stick with him. So all you have to do is stick with it. God will allow himself to be found. You have to believe he's real. You have to believe he's ready, willing, and able right now. Right now. Because that's where a lot of people miss it. They think, well, I believe God exists, and I believe he rewards some people. You know, he has his favorites. He puts them on TV, you know, but he won't do that for me. Well, I'm not going to tell you that he will do it for you. I'm going to let the word do that. Look at Matthew 7, the King James Version. Because you may think that Pastor Greg's just going to say it to make me feel good. One of the first things you need to understand about me is I don't say anything just to make you feel good. Not mean or anything like that. But if I say things just to make you feel good, it won't last. You'll feel good for a moment, but then when reality hits, you still won't have what you need to handle it. If I give you the word, whether I'm there or not, the word is with you and in you, and you can call on the word to help you get through it. So this is what Jesus has to say about the matter. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8, listen to this. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone, are you part of everyone? And he or she that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Nowhere in that said that to say everyone that asks might receive, or he that seeks might find, or he that knocks it might be opened. He said, it shall be. It shall be. So he doesn't have favorites. What he does for one person, he'll do for everyone. I should say, if he does it for one person that seeks him diligently, he'll do it for everyone who seeks him diligently. And if you're not getting it, you need to go back, look up those definitions and synonyms for diligently and see if they fit you. If they don't, make the adjustment. That's all. Don't get under condemnation. You don't have to tithe 635 days. You know, you don't have to, you know, pour a quart of oil on yourself every hour. All you need to simply do is just, Father, I haven't been seeking you diligently. I repent. I'm doing it now. And just go on about doing it. Yes, it's that simple. It doesn't matter to me what anyone has told you up until this point. Doesn't matter. Now you know the truth. Not from Pastor Greg, from what the word says. There's what I call a relative to Hebrews 11:6. And that's Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Where again, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So God already knows that you need these things. Verse 33. But, it's saying but because it means instead of worrying about all those other things, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. A right now thought just came in. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So God is saying, you do what I ask you to do first. That's the first thing you do. You focus, you pay attention to the things that I'm asking you to do. When you've done those, if you want to seek those other things, go ahead. But if you caught it in the scripture, it says, when you seek God first and you seek his righteousness, all those things will be added. So by the time you finish doing what it is God told you to do, and you say, okay, let me go after these other things, they will already be there. Because he said they'll be added. Didn't say you have to go out and find them and bring them in. They will be added to you while you're doing what you're supposed to do. Adam wanted a mate. Adam was lonely. He had enough sense to know those animals were not his mate. But he kept doing what God told him to do. He had to give the animals names. I'm thinking, how long does it take to look at a creature and say, oh, that's a hippopotamus? Where did that thought come from? You know, so it wasn't hippopotamus, rabbit, frog, turtle. No, Adam had to give some thought to these things. So he wasn't naming animals for 5 minutes. The Bible doesn't tell us how long it took for him to do it, but you just need to think about it. Adam was naming these animals for a while. But no matter how he felt, no matter how lonely he felt, he had a job. He was given a specific job to do. And while he was doing his job, he was presented with his wife. It wouldn't have done him any good to go out looking for one because she hadn't been created yet. That's why it doesn't pay for you to go out looking for a husband or a wife right now. Okay, Pastor Greg, you're going to meddle? Well, maybe just a little bit. Doesn't do any good for you to go out looking for a husband or a wife right now because they haven't been made yet. Yeah, God has someone that he's perfecting for you. Now, you can go out there and look if you want because it says seek and you shall find, but you may not find the right one. You'll find one. And I'm sure there are a lot of you out there who've had more than your share of the wrong one because you were looking. I'll get back in track. I'll stop meddling. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's why I want to focus on that. I'm going to read it in a different translation. You may not have this one. I've used it before. It's called the Johnson paraphrase. A lot of them are out of print, but you can, you know, try and find them either hard copy or you can do a Kindle. I have both. Some of the volumes aren't available, but I have them. In Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33, out of the Johnson paraphrase, Jesus said again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we get our clothes? Verse 32, all of this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. So if you find yourself always looking for these physical things, you are unaware of God's presence. Jesus says, I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of all your physical needs. Say, my Father God is aware. Nod your head when you say is aware because you really mean it. My Father God is aware of all of my physical needs. And because your Father is aware of all of your physical needs, verse 33 says you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. When you get a proper perspective These other things will take care of themselves. God, Jesus is telling us, forget about what you think you need and give your first priority to the spirit dimension. See, it's okay. It's all right to have other priorities. Your first priority should be to the spirit dimension. Your first priority. Then when you fulfill that, then you can go to your second priority. But your first, but think about it. Your first priority, if you make your first, or when you make your first priority the spirit dimension and settling all of your relationships, that means you're putting everything in line with the spirit dimension. When you do that, all of these other things will take care of themselves, which means, folks, whatever is your second priority will be taken care of. Whatever was your third priority will be taken care of. Whatever was your fourth priority will be taken care of. Whatever was your 675th priority will be taken care of if you give your first priority to the spirit dimension. Your first priority. That means handling God's business. First priority means spirit realm. First priority is to the wants and needs and desires of the kingdom. In this case, we're talking about the kingdom of God. Since we believe God exists, so no matter what's going on around us, all of God's thoughts must become our thoughts. All of his desires must become our desires and must be attended to first. And it doesn't matter how serious other things may seem. Our first priority as believers must be the spirit dimension, because that's the only way all these other things will take care of themselves. Because that will mean we've gotten our priorities in order. That means we're seeking hard after the kingdom and its righteousness. We're seeking God diligently. We're looking at the situations and we're saying, God, you're in this. I know you're in this. So what is it that you want me to do? I'm taking my hands off of all of these other things and I'm staying focused on you. And I don't care what my mama says about it, or my daddy, or my wife, or my husband, or my best friend, or my worst enemy. I don't care what any of them say. I am sticking with what you said. And it's scriptural to do that. Look at Matthew 10. I finally understood why this scripture is in here. Verse 37 to 39 in the Message Bible. Matthew 10, verse 37 to 39, Message Bible. Don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut, make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through these cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God. Well, listen to this, folks. Please listen to this. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. Why? They're trying to help. But in their quest to try and help, it's almost as if they are taking the place of God in your life. Because they've gone some things, because God has brought them through some things, of course they want to share with you. They want to tell you, this is how you do it, because this is what God did for me. Right, that's what God did for them based on their circumstances, their situation, and the calling on their life. It's probably not the same for your life. So just like they got it from God, you have to get it from God also. That's what it's talking about when it says, well, it doesn't mean that you have family members that are going to try and just do harm to you. you know, I'm not saying that that may not happen, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. He said, well-meaning people who think they're doing right can actually cause harm because they're doing things that God wants you to do. They're trying to teach you things, but they're not doing it in a way that God wants to teach you. It says, if you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. See, it's very possible to get lost, get wrapped up in certain different circumstances. But if you just let it go, you keep first things first. That means you give first priority to the spirit dimension, first priority to the kingdom of God, first priority to what God's concerns are, first priority to what God told you. You'll find God and you'll find yourself, your true self. You'll find him. Just like Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, the place where he found the ram caught in the bush and he sacrificed the ram instead of his son Isaac. Jehovah Jireh means on the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen. When you make it your business to take care of kingdom business, all of your provisions, everything that you need will be seen. But you gotta keep God first. You gotta keep God first. In this verse, you know, if your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. In there is in those words, there's another revelation. When I thought about it, that if you want to find yourself, all you have to do is seek God first. That's all you have to do. If you want to ensure that all will be well with you and yours, all you have to do is give first priority to the spirit dimension. Because we have a promise that when we do that, everything will take care of itself. Who made that promise? God. Am I sure God will do it? That's why you have to believe. That's why I said everything goes back to you must believe that God is. Because if God is, his word is. If God is and his word is, everything that his word says is absolutely true and will come true on your behalf. Your behalf. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Just to understand how we became spirit beings. Because I was thinking, okay, God, why do you have to say so much to us about giving our first priority to the spirit dimension? If we're spirit beings, we should be walking and living in the spirit all the time. It's like you don't see fish unless it's a special fish. By special, I mean it was designed to do that. But for the most part, you don't see fish strolling down on the sidewalk. If they do that, they're going to die. Because they're designed, they're aquatic animals, they're designed to be in water, not on the sidewalk. We are spirit beings. We have the ability to walk around on the earth. We're spirit beings. Our strength, our sustenance, everything that we need to pull in from the spirit realm because that's who we are. That's why Jesus is telling us our first priority needs to be the spirit dimension. Why? That's home for us. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted, that means to join or united. Therefore, if any man is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he's a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away, and behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into his favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. So we're joined. We move in harmony with Jesus. Where is Jesus? He's in the spirit realm. So if we're in harmony with him, guess where we are? We're in the spirit realm also. And he gave us a job. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by how we act and what we say, others will come into that same harmony. Verse 19, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses. Not, in other words, you could say, not walking around in unforgiveness, but canceling them. That means canceling out the things that they may have done wrong, and committing to us the message of reconciliation. That means he's given us the responsibility. He's given us the honor and the privilege of giving the message of reconciliation and restoration to others. Verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as if it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. See, we're to give first priority to the spirit dimension, first priority to the wants and needs of the kingdom. Think about it. We are ambassadors. All ambassadors, if they are doing their jobs properly, forsake their own desires for the benefit of their kingdom, or you could say for the benefit of the country that sent them. They are immune to the rules of the region to where they were sent. Have you ever heard the term diplomatic immunity? I know if you watch Lethal Weapon, you heard the guy, diplomatic immunity. Forget about just been canceled part. Okay. But we have diplomatic immunity. Ambassadors don't get involved in the local political and social issues. Their one goal, their only goal, is to fulfill the desires of the one who sent them. And when they have a need, they don't go to the local authorities. They go to their home country. They go to their home country. They go to the one who sent them. They don't go to the ones they were sent to. They go to the ones that sent them. We're Christ's ambassadors. Just understanding a little more why we make the spirit dimension our first priority. John 4:24. I got to go back. Because we are ambassadors, we need to stick to the job we were sent to do. We need to, so an ambassador properly represents the one who sent them. That means the temperament, the behaviors, the thoughts of the sender should be apparent or evident in the sent, if you're representing them. That's why we're discerning, very discerning about who represents us as pastors, who represents us as a ministry. It must be someone who has the same thoughts, mindsets, or I should say, who can adopt to the same thoughts, mindsets, and ideals as me and Pastor Ed. Because we've been placed over the ministry. So we can't have someone misrepresenting who we are. If you're a member here, There are four parts to our motto. This is a place where the love of God is evident. If you are a member here and you're representing this ministry, the love of God should always be evident in everything you do and say. Because your first priority is kingdom business. And representing the ministry is kingdom business. The word of God is taught. It's the second point in our motto. So if you remember here, you should be able to teach the word of God. You don't have to be a Bible teacher, so to speak, but you can lead someone to the truth of the word. If you remember here, then the Spirit of God is directing. You're hearing where God is telling you to go, and you're going. And the power of God is in manifestation. You do 1, 2, 3, 4 is almost a given. Because when you go where God tells you to go, his power will be there for you to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. But you can only do that if you have the heart of an ambassador. And you understand that an ambassador's job is to portray the thoughts, the intents, the attitudes of the one who sent them. And we're ambassadors for Christ. We need to think about that a little more strongly. We are ambassadors for Christ. John 4, verse 24, King James Version. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to share it again in the Message Bible. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very beings, their spirit, comma. Their true selves. Our true self is spirit. And we do it in adoration. When we keep from, this is what I receive from the Holy Ghost. When we keep first things first and give priority to the spirit dimensions, it's just believers living like believers, because when we received Christ, we became spirit beings. So we don't have to look at it as a big thing. We were born again into this life. And we're just acting like we're partakers of this life. So really, when you think about it, Hebrews 11:6 and Matthew 6:33 are saying, live like you're a spirit being. Live like you're a spirit being, which means we've been making some wrong choices. But that's okay, because Romans 8, first 6 verses in the King James Version says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, who don't pay attention to what's going on in the region, the area, the city, the state, the nation to which they were sent, but they go after the reason that they were sent, to represent Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Be fulfilled in those who make their first priority the spirit dimension. That's what it's talking about. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They that believe God exists and seek him first, they're the ones that the scripture's talking about. They're the ones that will mind the things of the Spirit, because they believe that. It says, for to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So since we're already spirit beings, folks, giving first priority to the spirit dimension should be our normal behavior. Because that's who we are. That's who we are. And we shouldn't be concerned about, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where am I going to live? My stomach hurts. My head hurts. I got an evil diagnosis. No, you got a report. You got an observation. Stop using the adjectives. You got test results. They may suggest that you're being attacked by the devil. Does that mean you're supposed to come off? You're supposed to go back from where God sent you? Well, if the word says seek ye first the kingdom of God, then that means, God, you heard what they said. I mean, that's what the early church said about the religious leaders that were persecuting them. And Father, you heard their threatenings. Give us more boldness. Father, you read this report. You know what it says. Give me more boldness. Give me more courage that I can do your will. And leave the rest to him. Now, if he tells you to go and do something else, then please do what he says. In either case, do what he says. But don't take it upon yourself that because something seems to be going wrong with you is a reason to pull yourself off of the field of battle or remove yourself from the place God sent you and go back home. And it certainly doesn't mean go to the one that you were sent to for help. We sing the song, all of my help comes from the Lord. That's why I lift up my eyes to the hills where from what cometh my help. We're a spirit being. We give our first priority to the spirit realm, and all these other things will take care of themselves. Why? Because the creator of the universe will handle it. And he's the one who sent me. And he's the one who sent you. In John 4, verse 31, just to let you know, Jesus gives you some spiritual reference for sticking with what God said and knowing that that will sustain you. John 4, verse 31 and 34 in the King James Version. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him. That means they were pleading with him, saying, Master, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? That means, has anybody brought him food to eat? And Jesus said to them, and listen to this, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In other words, Jesus was saying, what keeps me going is that I give first priority to the spirit dimensions. And all these other things take care of themselves. So he's saying, I have nourishment that you don't know of. It's up to the one who sent me to provide nourishment for me. So thank you, but you don't have to waste your time going out and buying me a burger. My meat, what keeps me going, is doing the will of him who sent me, completing his work. Completing his work. And just because we have an option doesn't mean we're supposed to take it. What am I talking about? Just because we may have a way of escape doesn't mean we're supposed to take that way of escape. Sometimes it means you tough it out because that's what Father's will is. And that, again, it's not my own thought. Look at Matthew 26, beginning with verse 50. This is in the New Living Translation. Jesus speaking to Judas when Judas was coming to betray him. First thing, he didn't say, you evil blankety blank blank. He said, my friend. Go ahead and do what you have come for. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus pulled out a sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. "Put away your sword," Jesus told him. "Those who use the sword will die by the sword." Then listen to this. This is key, folks. "Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly?" You think about that. You're on assignment. Jesus is saying, "I'm on assignment. If I don't like what's about to happen to me, if I don't want to deal with it, I can pray to my Father who sent me, and he'll send angels to protect me, even though he sent me to do a job." But what Jesus said next put chills down my back. He said, you know, we said, "I could pray, I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly." But verse 54, "But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now?" He said, "Yeah, I can do this. But if I did, what about the purpose for which I was sent? Yeah, I can leave, but if I did..." Yeah, you can choose not to make it first priority. What's going to happen if you do? Who are we willing to let go through some traumatic episode? Who are we willing to let go to hell because we don't want to go through what we were sent to do? Jesus said, "Oh, I can call, right? Even though Father sent me, I can call and I can be recalled. And he'll send legions of angels." One translation says over 80,000 angels to come and protect us. He said, "But if I did, how would the kingdom priorities be handled? If I won't do it, what's going to happen?" That's what we need to think about. We're on assignment. Circumstances are going to show up, folks, and they're going to do their best to convince you that there is no God. They're going to do their best to convince you that God won't reward you no matter what you do. They're going to do their best to try and convince you of all of those things. If you believe them, how will God's purpose be fulfilled? Your flesh is going to try to dismiss your kingdom responsibilities. What if you let that happen? What's going to be the result of that? Jesus was in an extreme situation, and he could have chosen to make his own personal well-being his first priority. He said he could pray and God would send protection. But if he did that, how would God's word be fulfilled? You ought to give first priority to the spirit dimension and settling all your relationships right. And when you get a proper perspective, all these other things will take care of themselves. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you gave us this evening. Thank you, Father, for the revelation that popped in the hearts and minds and understanding of all those that heard what you said this evening. And I thank you that by the Holy Ghost, you will make it clear to them exactly what it is that you would have them do, where you would have them go, what you would have them say in every situation, and they will be obedient because now they understand that their first priority is the king, is the spiritual dimension, the spirit realm, your kingdom. And when we get those perspectives right, everything will take care of itself. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, real quick, to do that, the first thing we need to do is become new creatures in Christ. That just means the first thing we need to do is receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it's very simple to do because Romans 10, verse 9 tells us, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I need everyone very quickly to say, Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he went to the cross, died, was buried, and went to hell. And after 3 days, you raised him from the dead. And I understand that because he did those things, I won't have to go through it anymore. So I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. And I say to you, and I ask you to come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, folks, if anyone out there, you made that confession, and you said it with your mouth, you believed it in your heart, you just got born again. Please use the contact information and contact us. Say, yes, I prayed, made that confession with Pastor Greg, and I'm born again. And we will send you some free information. We want you to understand just what transpired this evening and who you've become in Christ and what's the next steps for you. And if you have a question or a comment about tonight's teaching, please use the same information and contact us. I promise we'll get back to you. As I always say, it may not be the same day, but we will get back to you.